When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Thanks for tuning into Americana Music Profiles. The next episode starts right now.
You are tuned in to another edition of Americana Music Profiles, brought to you by Americana Rhythm Music Magazine and AmericanaMusicMagazine.com. I'm your host, Greg Tutwiler. Let's jump right in to the next exciting interview. Jake Drysdale attended the Greater Johnston School of Music for lessons when he picked up his first guitar at 8 years old. 2 years later, he began writing songs, and in his teen years became fascinated with creating homemade videos and demos. Jake has spent most of his life making music, and in more recent years has discovered the Americana sound, releasing his self-titled debut album, a folk rock concept album called Great American Racer. Jake joins us on this edition of Americana Music Profiles to talk about that record and his life in music. Hi, Jake. Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for taking the time to join us today. You're in Pennsylvania, is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. We're almost neighbors compared to some of the areas that I talk to folks from. I'm in Virginia, so
we're a few hours south.
Yeah, same time zone. What a treat.
Yeah, for sure.
Coordinating with folks on the West Coast or across the pond, it gets a little tricky sometimes trying to figure out how to coordinate the call. So
I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah, so good to talk to you. Is that Pennsylvania been home for you for your whole life?
Yeah, I was born and raised here.
Okay. Are you in the city, in the country? What part of Pennsylvania?
Well, I live in Greensburg, which is about an hour east of Pittsburgh. It's okay. A pretty suburban community.
Uh-huh. Cool. How long has music been a part of your life?
My entire life.
Yeah.
I was growing up, my parents collected CDs when I was a little kid, and when I had some spare time, I would go through their collection, and I would discover a lot of my favorite artists that way. And they also had VH1 on the TV a lot, and that really kind of got me into wanting to do music for a career.
Uh-huh.
I just always loved music. I got my first guitar when I was really young. My parents had no music background, but I just knew that I wanted to do this sort of thing, and they were very supportive. So they got me a guitar for Christmas when I was wee little, and then I started taking lessons, and then just a few years later I began writing my own songs and dabbled in some music production as I grew older.
So you started writing songs, I think I read, around 10 years old, so pretty young.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. That's not what a normal 10-year-old typically does. How did you get turned on to songwriting?
Well, I always liked to write and to spell, and when I was a wee little kid, like before I got into music, I would write little short stories, and then as I was starting to get into music, that form of storytelling just naturally went from, you know, writing, you know, stories and little short books to writing songs.
Okay. So. Yeah. And so from there, I think I understood you actually kind of started even creating your own recorded projects pretty young too, right?
Yeah, I started self-recording my own music when I was 12, because I would just have like this little camcorder and I would record songs that way. It wasn't until my teens where I got like a decent microphone and an interface, and I would be able to do this more with, you know, with more enhanced quality, so to speak.
Yeah, sure.
And then when I went to college, I went for a music technology program, which was all about like learning Pro Tools and stuff. So nowadays, I'm definitely more knowledgeable in that sort
right.
of field.
Yeah. When did it start to click for you that there might be something bigger than a hobby with the music for you?
Well, one of my best friends, his name is Kevin Probolsky, and he's another local Pennsylvania musician. And we could just kind of bonded over our similar tastes. And he helped me record a few of my albums, like when I was like 15, 16. I remember the one summer I would go over to his house and I would record an album. I was working under the name Blue Navy at the time. And I would record the first album with him then. And it was just like a light bulb moment. Like, holy crap, you know, my music is really being translated in a way that it's never been translated before. Because he had like really nice setup and we were using like really good software.
Okay.
And I just couldn't believe it. It was like, you know, this is what I want to do for my whole life.
That's cool. Did you had a style initially that's not where you are presently, right? You kind of dabbled in some alternative
right.
styles of music, yeah?
Yeah, so when I first started writing songs, it was, you know, very alternative rock. And then, as I was mentioning earlier, I was working under the name Blue Navy, which was initially kind of like a singer-songwriter type of project.
Mm-hmm.
And then it naturally evolved into like kind of like a dreamy, like ambient type of project.
Mm-hmm.
Like lots of reverb, lots of heavy synth pads, you know, just drown out echo guitar. And then with this Great American Racer record, it just started to get into more folk rock and, you know, kind of heartland rock type of sound. And it's weird because even when I was making, you know, those ambient, you know, songs that I was making, I was still very influenced by like folk and like Bruce Springsteen and stuff like that.
Okay.
And then for this new album, I just decided, you know, go full ahead with that influence.
The songs on this new album, did you write them in this style for this record or adapt songs that you had already written?
Well, all the songs that I had written for Great American Racer, like I knew going in that I wanted to make an all like a more acoustic centric album. Because like I was still, you know, very influenced by like the dreamy and, you know, hazy music that, you know, defined my earlier work. But I just wanted to like, you know, take myself out of my comfort zone and make something that was a little more rustic sounding, still very melodic, and kind of layered in its production.
Do you have a goal for this record, for this genre of music? Were you reaching out to any particular kind of community with the songs?
Well, a lot of the subject matter on this record is very communal because it's a concept album about the heroin epidemic that's currently raging on in my area.
Okay.
And I just felt like that kind of sound would really helped me focus more on the lyricism and the message. And that was definitely what I wanted to get across for Great American Racers. I wanted to tell a story, and I feel like using that lighter instrumentation could really help propel the story.
So when you started writing the songs for this album, did you have that story in mind? Was that the intention, or did that just happen as you found yourself in the middle of the writing process?
Well, Great American Racer was pretty much made from, you know, my entire life experience, because I live in Greensburg now, but I used to live in a city called Johnstown, and Johnstown had a really robust steel and coal industry back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was growing up, those industries were, you know, definitely past their glory. And like, I would just, you know, drive around the streets. Like, why are there so many empty steel mills and, you know, empty houses? And I began to like look into the history of the town, you know, even when I was young and when I was reading about everything that happened with, you know, the decline of the industries, as well as the Johnstown flood of 1889, which took the lives of like 2,200 people.
Wow.
I was like, wow, this is just really, you know, sad stuff. Like, I can't believe that I'm living in an area, you know, have just seen better days,
mm-hmm.
per se.
Mm-hmm.
And I tied that in with the current drug problem of our community, as when I was growing up, there would always be these news articles about people overdosing on heroin or using cocaine and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And at first I thought, you know, maybe this problem is a little exaggerated. But then when I was really growing up and like going into my teens, it started to like trickle down into my own personal life with my friends and my family members.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought this was a very serious problem that I needed to address, and I just felt that music was the best outlet for me to express those sentiments.
How long has this album been out? This is your debut album in this genre, at least, right?
Yeah, this is the first Great American Racer album. It just came out on March 24th.
Okay.
But it's been in the works since 2018. It took a long time for me to get this album out,
mm-hmm.
there.
Okay. Are you getting any reception yet? Any feedback from it? Has it been out long enough to get that?
Oh yeah, I was featured on a local publication, a newspaper. I was also on the local news for the album. Mm-hmm. I was featured in a few different blogs. It's just been really exciting, seeing gain, you know, all this traction.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
As long as I've been working on this record, you know, for it to get the attention that it's getting, it really means a lot to me.
Yeah.
I've been noticing, like, a lot of people overseas are listening to this album, too. Like, I have a lot of Italian fans for some reason. I was just featured on an Italian podcast. They played the one song off the record. UK, Australia, places like that,
mm-hmm.
besides America. I think that's just really cool.
That is cool. How do you get out and share this live? Do you have an outlet for that?
It's been kind of hard to perform live because most of the record I perform on by myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really have like a backing band per se. I have my one drummer friend named Autumn. She performed all the drums on the record. We recorded it in 2 days and she did a fantastic job. But nowadays, you know, I just play like solo acoustic, like stuff off the album and like some cover songs. I've been playing around Pittsburgh, trying to get more into the city and, you know, trying to plant my feet there.
Would you like to get out beyond that? Like, is a tour of some kind on the bubble for you? Is that something you would like to pursue?
Oh man, if only I wasn't working a full-time job. You know, it's hard to walk away from the stability, but
yeah.
I hope that someday I'll be able to like go around the country and, you know, perform this music. I feel like it could resonate with a lot of people.
Yeah. So what do you do? What's the daytime vocation that you do?
So I work as a DJ.
Oh, cool.
And I also do some trivia stuff, some karaoke stuff.
Uh-huh.
And I'm starting to do stuff for weddings as well. So it's been pretty cool.
So this is a mobile DJ or a DJ on the radio station somewhere?
So I actually work as a DJ for a casino.
Okay.
And they just have these DJs come in on like the weekends. They perform songs for the crowd. And whenever there's a sporting event, we also do like prize giveaways and stuff. It could be a pretty fun job.
Yeah, sure.
So
yeah, that's cool. What's on the horizon? Do you have other stuff in the works? Are you writing more of this kind of style?
Yeah, so the plan is to, you know, keep, you know, the ball rolling on Great American Racer, just, you know, promoting it as much as I can, and really getting it out there. I'm starting to get the gears turning for a second album. I just finished a demo the other day that I'm really, really proud of. And I kind of wanted to, you know, continue the kind of folk sounds I was dabbling with on the first album. Just, I just bought like a 12-string electric guitar, and I want to use that a lot for the new album.
Yeah.
I think that could be a really cool way to get some extra, you know, melody in the music. Yeah. So,
was this self-produced, or were you able to get into a studio with this?
For the first Great American Racer album?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It was pretty much produced by myself. Mm-hmm. I wrote all the songs myself, performed all the instruments, and then I recorded most of it in Erie, because my buddy Brandon Saliga, he lives in Los Angeles now, but he used to have a studio up near Erie, and I recorded most of it in like 3 or 4 days. And then I also recorded it when I was still in college, and I mixed it myself, most of it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I just had a very particular sound in mind for the record, and I feel like, you know, having it all in my hands would be the best way for me to express what I wanted to go for sonically.
So if I'm understanding you correctly, you actually have some of these songs that you recorded as much as 5 years ago, and then some of them are more recent. Can you see the progression in your own music evolution as far as you know growing and being stronger in certain areas and that kind of thing from 5 years ago to some of the music you've created recently?
Oh, absolutely. I think that especially from a production standpoint, I've really grown.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause when I was going to college, you know, before I started classes, I was just making stuff with like one interface and one microphone and calling it a day. But now, you know, since I'm Pro Tools certified and have access to like a wide range of materials now, I feel like I can really express myself in a way that I couldn't have done 5, 6 years ago.
Yeah.
And it's just really cool to see my progression. Not only that, but also as a songwriter, I feel like my craft, you know, writing lyrics and, you know, making music has just only gotten better over time. So I'm excited to see where the future takes me.
Yeah. That's cool. Do you have a favorite song on the record?
My personal favorite song is a track called Isn't Bright, which was the first single that I released for the album. Okay. I think it just really summarizes everything about the album, both from a subject matter standpoint as well as what I was trying to go for in terms of sound.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like a really like lush, dreamy folk rock song with some like Bruce Springsteen-esque, mm-hmm. you know, moments at the very end and some jangly guitar riffs. It's just a dream song. Like, it's a song that I always wanted to write.
Yeah, that's cool. So what's the future? You know, if you could project 5 years out, how would this be going for you? What's on the bucket list? What would you like to see your music career look like?
I would love to see you know, Great American Racer still being listened to, the new album. I hope to have at least another album out by that time. And I'm hoping that I can, you know, live in Pittsburgh pretty soon and, you know, really get my feet down in the city. Hopefully, you know, play more shows, get a band together, and just keep doing music as much as I can.
And if people want to get this album, they want to reach out and communicate with you, what's the best way to make connections, listen to some of your earlier stuff? How do you like to communicate?
Well, I tell them to visit me on Facebook and Instagram. I have a page for both called Great American Racer. And I talk about my earlier stuff on those pages sometimes as well. You can also hit up my Bandcamp pages as well. Great American Race about bandcamp.com. And if you want to check out the Blue Navy stuff too, I have a Bandcamp for that. It's called bluenavy.bandcamp.com.
And place a calendar somewhere where they could find you live and listen to you play live. Do you have a list of events?
Not really. I kind of just, you know, perform whenever I have a day off and, you know, feel like I can, you know, go out and perform. But I usually play around like the Greensburg area, Ligonier area, Pittsburgh area, and I put all the updates of where I'm going to be at on my Facebook and Instagram pages, so you can just check there.
Okay, cool. Well, thank you, Jake. I appreciate your time, and man, I wish you well with it. It's cool music.
Thank you very much.
And you know, the shift is neat, what you've done with it, and certainly a great cause. So yeah, definitely best of luck to you on it.
Thank you, Greg. I appreciate your time.
Thanks again for tuning in to this episode of Americana Music Profiles. Find us on iTunes at Americana Music Profiles and on the internet at AmericanaRhythm.com.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.